Well, before I do that, I'm going to bring my wife, Connie, up. And this is the minister of the Lord. So she's proving that each and every time she's given the opportunity to speak. And the things that have been happening in her life and the things that have been happening in mine are great. So she's got a word for you this morning.
Just wanted to say greetings, fellow citizens of the inheritance of Christ, right? We are being joined to the Lord and have been for years, as we saw the video, we saw everything taking place. I was really touched by that again, knowing the history, but seeing it on the video and seeing you all as young ministers of the Lord working, and it just, our lives have paralleled that so much, and it just, and it's going to continue generation after generation, you know, as we all enter in to the fellowship with the Lord, because he's growing up the Son in us, and it's awesome. But I just appreciate every one of you and appreciate the journey that we're on, and we're just going to see it get better and better. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, when we were watching the video last Sunday, as we saw Keith and Michelle and Rick and Ann and JM and Debbie lined up there and had their firstborn sons with them, you know, we were like, oh my gosh, it's the timing, because that was all in 1976. In 76, our firstborn son came. That was Josh. And at the same time, I think Keith said that the heart was to find a place to raise your son better than what you had for yourself. That was my heart, the exact same heart. And so as we saw those things unfolding in that presentation, we're like, how can you deny that God does not have purpose and that God does not know what he's doing and what he has designed from the foundations of the world? How can you deny those things? Because that's exactly what we are. What we are today is the presentation of what God has predetermined for all of us. And that's a blessed thing. And so in that presentation, Dan, I wanted to thank you for that because, man, the parallel of what he has joined together in the eldership is so true. Right, Brian? And what Rick has said, that we can't let a piece of rice paper separate us from the truth of the Word of God, is so true. It is so true. And what you all get to be a part of is the witness that God has put in them. And so a lot of times we think, well, I just need to get a word from God. And I think it's been said real recently, right? How many more words do you need? Because you get a word every week, two and three times a week, and that word is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That word of truth that births us and brings us forth as the sons of God, we get it every week. How can we deny it? And so thank you. And thank you for having me here and Connie and I here today. It's such a blessing. You know, it was 20 years ago this year that we were introduced to all of you. 20 years ago. And I'm glad Dan didn't show that picture again. The reason for it is I had hair. I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. And I'm not looking for my hair. I'm looking for coming in to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you want to, I'm going to read part of it for you. In Ephesians, the first chapter. If you will, please. And if I drop this down too low, somebody just go like this, and because I will. I'm not good at this. I have a microphone that sits in the middle of the room, and that's how we do it. So this is strange to me, but we'll get it done. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to be to you, God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the thing that has determined so much for all of us is that Christ came, died, was buried, and rose again. Thank you, James. So that he, in the power of the resurrection, made a way for all of us to return to the Father. How many are appreciative of what Jesus Christ has done for you today? Yes. And the power of that gospel that brings life into all of us. Without Jesus, where would we be? Without Jesus, where would the fellowship of you and I, what would we have together if it wasn't for Jesus? And so in Christ Jesus, the fellowship of what we have that makes us alive and living is the living hope that we have in each and every one of us, that we will be filled with the fullness of his glory, of his truth, and of his ways. Man, that is awesome, isn't it? I know that in the times that the Presbytery has come to us, especially Dan in recent years, he comes with his, Dan and Brian, I should say. And well, Gary's with us every month. How can I leave him out? Sorry, Gary. But Dan came with a message. He said, have you ever, what do you do with the sayings of Jesus? What do you do with them? Anybody know? So I heard somebody say it. Put them in your storehouse. What's your storehouse? It's your heart, right? Isn't it what you draw when you face certain things in your life? If you didn't have the Word of God in your storehouse, what would you do? Huh? You'd go nuts. Yeah, okay. That's close enough. But it's true. It's the Word of God that we draw from. We've been exercising in Boise, we've been exercising the sayings of Jesus and bringing the Word of God into our storehouse. So that as we put off this body of flesh, what do we have left? The storehouse of God. The Word of God is building your new body. It's building your temple. It's the inheritance that God hath given to you through Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to see here. Technology. Gotta love it. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where do your blessings come from when it comes to God? Where does God live? He lives in heaven. Where's his throne? It's in heaven. So what's God's desire for you? It's heaven. It's to be with him where he is. So he sent Jesus Christ to do what for you? To take you back with him. That's our place. Aren't you happy? And don't you get happier every time the Word of God comes to you and you are lifted up by the Word of God into that heavenly place in Christ Jesus, and you begin to see more and more of his glory every time the Word of God enlightens your mind to the things of God. It's awesome, isn't it? Let's go on with this. As he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So, God knew, God knows who you are, and he knows what he chose you to do in Christ Jesus. Purposed in everything that he has done for each and every one of us. It's amazing how as we come into this life, PK, we don't remember any of that, do we? We have forgotten. God is faithful to the word that he has created, the word that he has spoken. So in that faithfulness of God, in that word, he breathes it back into you. Brings the remembrance of that word by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of himself, back into us so we can remember from where we came. That's what draws this fellowship together. That's what we have in commonality or in a common bond one to another, is that we have the Word of God that God has God breathed into each and every one of us and made us a living soul, made us alive before God. And in that life, we seek after the truth, don't we, Julie? And that truth becomes the necessity of our existence. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. And so that word that is breathed into us, it is the truth of God that awakens us to the things of God once again. And he makes it alive. He quickens it. I think Gary was speaking about that quickened word last night, right? And that quickened word is an experience that makes God known in each one of us. That's when the trial starts, right? When the Word of God comes, all of a sudden, we see the sin that we are in. Sometimes we miss the fact that he showed us our sins so that we could see the truth. But when we see the truth, all of a sudden we leave the sin behind. We turn to God and we go forward into the what he has made for us. In the restoration of who we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden we realize how much we are loved of the Father. And that love for us is without boundaries. That love for us, man, you think that you can work your way into the love of God by doing something for the Lord? Man, we cannot do it, can we? How many of us have tried? Yeah. We have all tried. But it's not by our works, lest any man should boast. It's by the works of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of his gospel. And that gospel was set out before the foundations of the world that we might know. It was purposed in God from the beginning. It's awesome, isn't it? It's almost sometimes seems like it's enough to know that God loves me so much that he formed all of this that I might know. And yet, if we don't experience it in and of ourselves, what are we left with? Isn't it made so that as we believe the Word of God, all of a sudden our existence becomes made whole by taking on the sufferings of Christ and knowing him in the power of that resurrection? Knowing him in the power of his gospel? Identifying each and every one of us as himself? Isn't that what he has destined us to be? The inheritance that he received of his Father, that's the inheritance that he has given unto us. Let me continue. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure, of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Wow. So the accepted place for each and every one of us is in Jesus Christ, who is the beloved of God. So when God, or does he see the Son that he has created in you? He sees the Son. Is the Son full of sin, or did he create the Son sinless? Sinless. And for us, that's the part that we stumble in, because God created me without sin. Now, as I begin to take on the nature of Christ without sin, am I leaving my sin behind? And the answer is yes. How many of you are beginning to believe that sin's not your problem? You continue on in the truth of the Word of God, and the truth will make you free. Do you believe that today? We are being made free by the truth that is in Jesus Christ. I think Gary emphasized that greatly last night when he looked at you, Claudette, right? Did he say it quietly? Oh, he delivered it, didn't he? He proclaimed it. And that's the thing that Jesus is doing in each and every one of us, is he is proclaiming his gospel so that the Son of you can do the same. You can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to your world, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we begin to embrace the power of that gospel, the freedom that comes in the power of that gospel, doesn't it set us free from everything that we think is so important in this life? I'm going to tell you, it does. Is God ever wrong? God is always right. I had to learn that, Julie. I had to learn that God is never wrong. I kept trying to choose for myself a different way. That I knew God better than God. And I could figure out my own way, my own path to God. Anybody else been there? Yeah. But guess what? God takes that away too. In the Old Testament, there was one way to ascend the mountain of God. Anybody know what that way was? Say that. I heard it. No, the north side. That was the only way to ascend the mountain of God. There was no other way. So how many ways can we ascend into heaven? Only one way. How's that? Through Jesus Christ. The similitudes that we have in the Old Testament, who do they point to? Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It's never going to be anything more than Jesus. Jesus is everything that we have ever needed to be what God hath chosen and called us to be. I use this scripture much, and I probably will until the day I die. But in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what we're talking about this morning. In Jesus, you have everything you need to be what God says you are. In the book of Hebrews, the angels are subjected to who? To Christ. To the glory of the Father. So we have our angel, right? But who's he subjected to? He's subjected to Jesus. So everything that God hath given to you, PK, this morning, doesn't it form that Christ in you, the hope of glory? Every word that we hear spoken of the elders, confirmed by witness of the presbytery, doesn't it form the Christ in each and every one of us so that we have the pathway being revealed to us into heavenly places in Jesus Christ? It's awesome. I want to say something very specific here. Pastor Rick told me years ago, he said, Dan, Brian, and Gary, he said, I trust my life unto them. And he looked me in the eye. And he said, you should do the same. And I have. I trust them completely when it comes to the leadership of this church into the truth of the Word of God. Even if it brings a reproof and a correction to my own thoughts. Even if it sets a direction before my feet that I didn't think I needed to go. I submit to that word that is in them so that that piece of rice paper can't separate me from the will of God. So there was a time, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. There was a time, and you heard it last night, where I almost gave up my church. Do you think God was going to let that happen? No way. And what I have learned about that in the last 3 or 4 years, it almost scares the hell out of me. Or at least keeps it abated. Right? Because you don't want to repeat those things ever. Once you learn them for purpose. You learn them to see just how important the bride of Christ is to you. And that she is your eternal salvation. So in the book of Revelation, when that Christ or when that bride comes down from heaven, it sets before you the new heaven and the new earth. And you have found your home in the things of God. Who are you married to today? I'm married to the Lord. He is my husbandman. He's my treasure. He's the fruit of heaven being formed within. So that everything that we partake in, when I read the Word of God, when I hear the Word of God, when I experience the Word of God, it forms Jesus Christ within. And everything that I'm in the flesh goes away. That challenges us, doesn't it? It's interesting that we spend so many years of our life forming in our thoughts who we think we are, right? Not understanding Jesus. But when we begin to understand Jesus, we begin to see that who I am in the flesh is nothing. And that without Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. Amen, Marty? Because it is true. It is so true. I have an inheritance. And there's quite a description to it. That inheritance is, man, it's overflowing. It's abundant. Because it's a life in heavenly places in Christ Jesus where everything is put in subjection under your feet. And when you read about it in the book of Hebrews, it's not talking about this and that. It says what? It says everything. Sin, death, and the devil has no more power over you in the inheritance that you receive in Jesus Christ. Gary and I were talking just a few moments ago that even in the feast that Gary presented last night, what's the culmination of it? It's your life in Jesus Christ. The celebration of every feast is in Him. In the Old Testament, the pattern of the feast was to show you Jesus. Remember what it says in the book of Galatians that Jesus, the law was our schoolmaster? To bring us to who? To bring us to Christ. So now when you read the Old Testament, your mind's free to hear about Jesus. The thing they couldn't hear about in Israel. They didn't have faith. They couldn't partake in the things of Jesus. But in the New Testament, Jesus came on the scene to open the mind and the heart and the eyes to being enlightened by the Word of God so we can see Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? I mean, folks, the things that we have been given because we believe in Jesus Christ, it's without end. Some of us have already experienced heavenly things in Christ Jesus. Does that mean we get to stop Or does that mean there's much more? It means there's much more. And for us, we anticipate receiving the things that we have in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and look forward to it. And you know that in this, well, let me read it to you this way. It's funny, the phone doesn't want to open up unless it sees my face. It's crazy. Listen to this. Verse 12, chapter 1. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed. Oh man, what a progression, right? How many of you know you're in a progression of the unfolding of the truth of the word of God? You see it every time you hear the word of God and it opens your mind and your heart. You know you're in that progression of becoming a son. Then God does this for you. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God cannot lie, right? He made a promise. Hebrews says that. And he seals us with the Holy Ghost as a down payment of that inheritance to us who believe. We cannot miss the inheritance, folks. You follow Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise that you will receive the promise. It's going to become your possession. God has sealed it unto you. And we can't do it in and of ourselves, even for a moment. It is the work of God in each and every one of us. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So what do we get in the end? The inheritance of the purchased possession that is in Jesus Christ. And really, that's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. We talk about the end all the time, right? But do you know the end is really the beginning? Because you get a new life. You get the life of a son. The life that is has been predetermined or foreordained for you forever. What's in the mind of God for you is sonship. And the relationship between the Father and the Son is complete. The fullness of his character, the fullness of all that he is in Christ Jesus, is what you receive when you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He opens up your life, your mind, your heart to what you have in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A lot of times when we pray, we pray about things in this life, don't we, Julie? And God lets us do that ignorantly for a while, for a season. But isn't the heart of him, as he opens up the mind and the heart, when we pray, that we pray as Jesus prays, that the will of the Father might be done. So in going to the cross, what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. And we're going to become a partaker in that gospel of Jesus Christ, that the will of God be done forever and ever. And we sit with him. We behold him in all of his glory. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Those are my thoughts for you this morning. These things have literally changed my life, if I can say it that way. How many of you are being changed by the power of the Word of God. Look at the hands. I guess you wouldn't be here if it wasn't true. There might be one. I don't know. But the reality of it, Sharon, is more than we could ever consider without the Lord. We don't have a mind of heavenly places in Christ Jesus without Jesus Christ. How many of you think you knew what was in heaven before? Right? Well, I'll go home and see mom and dad. I'll go home and see an angel. I'll go home and see this, see that. How about we be satisfied with seeing Jesus and beholding him in all of his glory? Even the 24 elders that sit around the throne cast their crowns at his feet. Even the angels in heaven sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Folks, that should be your satisfaction. That should be all that you need, because it's enough. And we can live in Jesus Christ forevermore. We have eternal life. Right, Marty? We have eternal life. That's enough. What more could you ask for? God bless you.